everyone. Welcome to a pretty impromptu podcast here on PW Ponderings with one of our favorite guests, Drew Cordero of Beyond Wrestling. Drew, it's been a crazy 48 hours, man.
Yeah, it's been a little bit out of control.
It sounds like it. And of course, the weekend of a show coming up. I mean, really, literally life sucks and then you die. That's just the perfect...
It always falls apart week of show. I mean, it's like people... When the guys that are asking, like, oh, like, what's the match, what's the lineup and stuff like that, it's just like, I don't know, I'll look at it Friday or Saturday after I figure out, like, who's hurt, who's canceling, who's coming late, who has to leave early, you know, what sort of restrictions we have with the venue, what the weather is going to be like. You just got to have the flexibility to roll with the hits. And, you know, that also means avoiding catastrophes, which is easier said than done.
I mean, in the wrestling business, you'd think you'd be used to them by now. So, of course, we're talking about this Sunday, June 28th, Life Sucks and Then You Die, presented by Beyond Wrestling at FET Music. There's still tickets available. You go check them out. The bell time is 4 p.m. And, Drew, you know, a couple hours ago, actually more than a couple hours ago, you posted something on the Beyond Wrestling Facebook at facebook.com/beyondwrestling. Basically telling everyone about the situation, and I think we all have to applaud you for the transparency that you want to give your fans. So instead of me reading on the whole thing, why don't you just give a recap?
Yeah, you know, long story short, we had agreed to work with a vendor who was going to be bringing in wrestlers for New England Fan Fest this weekend. First off, let me just say that New England Fan Fest is, whether you want to call them an event or an organization, they're somewhere in between. But the guy that heads it up, Joe Bruin, really stand-up guy. Very big part of the community of independent wrestling and professional wrestling in general in New England. And the first time that I had the chance to work with him was actually before our first American Rana event. And the New England Fan Fest was held at a sort of small banquet hall at a sort of small hotel in a sort of small town called Fairhaven, Massachusetts. And it was cool. It was successful. But then it was like last year, all of a sudden, well, now we're going to the Crown Plaza in Warwick, Rhode Island. Warwick is the second most populated city in Rhode Island, and a huge step up in terms of the quality of the hotel. And it was a huge step up in terms of the quality of the wrestlers that were there for autographs and appearances. And lo and behold, this year, they've moved the convention to the Rhode Island Convention Center, which is next to the Dunkin' Donut Center or the Providence Civic Center, which is where when Ring of Honor was doing their live events in Providence most recently, that's where they were holding them. So that's a big deal to be able to make such big progress in 2 years. And, you know, they've got deals with all the local radio stations. I heard, you know, multiple advertisements on 94HJY, which is like the big rock station in Rhode Island. And on the side of the Dunkin' Donut Center, they have an electronic billboard. They've been advertising the show too. So word has really gotten out there about what a big event this is. So one thing that I felt bad that, and not in my original post, I certainly don't mean to misrepresent the New England Fan Fest, because everybody that works directly with that is super straight up. They always go above and beyond to make sure to take care of the people that they're working with, and especially the people that are paying their hard-earned money to meet the wrestlers at that event. So nothing but love for New England Fan Fest. This is not an issue with them. In fact, if anything, it's my communication with New England Fan Fest that's, you know, allowed me to make certain decisions so that we weren't completely screwed come Sunday. So there was a guy that hit me up on Twitter randomly, and he said that he was basically introducing himself on behalf of an organization called Top Flight Booking, and he was bringing a handful of wrestlers into the area for New England Fan Fest. Let me see if I can actually pull it up really quick, just to give you an idea of the type of wrestlers that he was going to be working with. And, you know, ultimately, it's kind of like, well, I'm bringing these wrestlers into the area. I know you have a show the next day. What can we do so that while they're in the area, they can maximize the amount of money that they're going to make, whether it's an appearance or a match, stuff like that. So he said that he represents Cliff Compton, Paul London, Mary Elizabeth Monroe, Davey Richards, Eddie Edwards, EC3, Rebel is who's Rebel?
She is that. She was part of that weird faction in TNA. That's all I remember.
Okay, so she. Okay, so she's a wrestler. Okay,
yeah, she is a wrestler.
And,
yes.
Okay, Angelina Love and Jesse Sorensen. And that he went on to also say ODB, a few other people. I think BJ Whitmer at one point. Maybe Barbie Hayden, Houston Carson. So I mean, like, this is somebody that's reached out to a pretty significant portion of, you know, the independent professional wrestling community, you know, saying that he's going to represent somebody. And it's kind of like, well, if I didn't, you know, have the knowledge or wherewithal to follow up with some of these people directly, I mean, it's like, I work with Eddie Edwards directly all the time. I don't need to go through a third-party agent. So right there, it was kind of like, okay, this is a little bit suspicious. But I've also don't have much experience working with these vendors and doing conventions. Like, I'm not really sure how that these conventions are set up. Sometimes I think that the wrestlers are paid like ahead of time X amount of money, and then based on how much money they bring in from autographs, and I think photo ops and merchandise they might sell, I think that might go to the vendor. So again, it's kind of a gray area for me, but it was kind of like, okay, well, he does work with somewhat reputable people and people that I do have the ability to communicate with. And so we set it up. And I think Joey and Candace were originally supposed to be wrestling for a show in New York on Friday. That ended up falling through. And so it was kind of like, well, how can we make this work last minute? Because I don't have the funds to be able to swing flights from the West Coast for this particular show, because we have American Rana coming up, and I want to make sure that we're putting our best foot forward for that. But that's kind of the predicament that I put myself in. Is May turned out to be this unbelievable show for us, which, you know, we kind of, as I tell everybody, we kind of stepped in shit as far as getting lucking out. And, you know, the way that everything worked out with Samoa Joe, the timing of it, his contract, being able to compete on NXT, and then a couple days later appear for Beyond Wrestling, and then, you know, with all the speculation that was going on with what his deal was going to be or what it wasn't going to be, you know, he was the most talked about wrestler at the time that he was doing our show. So that was a huge boost for us, and it's like, oh, damn, like, we just had this crazy show. We've got another crazy show coming up in a month. Like, it's embarrassing when you go from having 300 people to having like 125 people the following month. I want to be able to keep up that momentum. I don't want to face any sort of setbacks going into American Rana. So it was kind of like, well, I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to work with this guy. I'm going to see what we can do as far as, you know, for both working with the talent that weekend. The only fair thing to do and the only thing that I would have been able to afford is to be able to split transportation, you know, room and lodging, whether it's the hotels, ground transportation, airfare, what have you. So we agreed to everything. We worked it out. And I was kind of like, oh, man, I wonder if this is like a scam. Like, I don't want to give this guy any money up front. So what I agreed to was like, I'll book the hotels, you book the flights, and as soon as you send me the itinerary, I will send you what I owe you. And we left it at that. And we went back and forth a few times. Just to pull up my direct messages with him. Tia Trinidad is somebody else that he worked with.
And just to throw this out there, just because we have gotten an email, a couple emails about this, asking about, you know, when it comes to more along international wrestlers, but wrestlers in general, it's like, yeah, you've done this before, not necessarily with him, but with other promotions like XWA, Ring of Honor. So this is not something that you're entirely foreign to, but you had never worked with.
Right,
so
I've never worked with him, and I don't know the deal as far as conventions. You know what I mean? With wrestling appearances, wrestlers have a booking fee. That's what they get paid to wrestle. With conventions, it's kind of like a bit of a gray area. But there's some wrestlers that do the convention circuit somewhat frequently. You know, like Paul London is somebody who wrestled for WWE, and so he does conventions. And so it's kind of like he's more familiar with that. And same with Joey and Candice, you know what I mean? They do more of the conventions than most of the other independent wrestlers. So nothing was kind of like throwing up a red flag with them. Because, I mean, dude, it's wrestling. Like, a lot of people do wait to the last minute. But, you know, and I have a tendency to be super paranoid, too. So it's just kind of like, all right, like, I need to just calm down and chill out and just make sure that, you know, I'm being respectful of everybody. Because the last thing I want is like, oh, yeah, this Cordero guy we're going to go work for, he's going to be up my ass the whole time. Like, I want people to have fun when they come out and work for Beyond Wrestling. That's one of the reasons that Beyond Wrestling is, you know, such a prominent organization, is because we have a good reputation, because people like coming working, you know, at Fet Music in Providence, because they have a good time. Like, you know, money's not the end-all be-all, even though it's kind of the main factor in terms of this becoming a situation. So, like, this dude gave me his phone number. He was able to work out an agreement between me and Paul London as far as what he would be, you know, charging to appear for us, knowing that he was in town for both weekends. Because sometimes, you know what I mean, sometimes if people are doing multiple appearances, sometimes, you know, you can get a deal on that or whatever. He told me he'd be in contact. Then I hit him up. He said, I'm waiting to hear back from one of the wrestlers, and then I'll finalize arrangements with everybody, kind of implying that he was waiting to hear back from somebody that I wasn't necessarily even working with. And then he was like just going to get flights for everybody that he had advertised for the Fan Fest, which, you know, the names kept changing. So I'm gonna guess that it was somewhere in the range of maybe a dozen wrestlers he was planning on bringing out for his booth. I said, hey, I'm about to announce all of these guys. I want to make sure that we have transportation set before we announce anybody. He said, yeah, I heard. No worries. Everyone's going to be there. Then I asked again, hey, can you please send the itinerary? He said that he's out of town at a funeral. He's going to be home tomorrow. He's going to get everything booked and sent to me by the weekend. And he said that he was waiting on two people that we were working with to approve their flight itineraries. And just to reiterate that I was handling the hotel. Then I hit him back and I was just like, I'm trying to finalize my budget for the show. You said you have the itinerary set and they've been approved by the wrestlers. How much is it going to cost? And he gave me a concrete number and I was like, okay, like that was really fast. I don't think that he was pulling anything out of his ass. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things. It's like, it's so hard to tell. And then after that, that was our final correspondence. Oh no. Then the last thing he asked me is, do I need to get a ticket to come to your show? And I said, no. If we're working together, like, there's no problem for you coming in. And then that was it. I just never heard back from anybody. And then I think the story started making the rounds that somebody was calling from his phone number saying that they were his brother, saying that he was in a coma, which, I don't know, man. You know how that goes. It's like I hate to sound so callous, but, like, if this dude is actually in a coma, well, you had up until the point that you were in a coma to take care of this shit.
Right.
I'm sorry, man. You know what I mean? It's just like the way that the conversation was going into it, leading up to it, I was very cautious about it. So yesterday I was kind of left with the decision. It's like, all right, am I going to cancel, you know, two of my top matches off the show? Candice and Joey versus Team Tremendous and AR Fox versus Paul London, which, I mean, that those are some big time matches. Candice and Joey wrestled Team Tremendous for us back at a WSU secret show. And it was kind of one of those things where it was always like, man, this was good. But it would be so great if we could do it in front of a crazy crowd. And timing-wise, it just kind of worked out for this month. And then Paul London and AR Fox, it's like, Paul London is the guy that is responsible for the Please Don't Die chant. And, like, AR Fox is the guy that brought it back. And, like, they're both so eccentric in both similar and different ways. It's just like, wow, nobody ran this match before? Really? And that's not even originally what I had Paul London doing on this show, but it was just like, we can't pass up an opportunity for these two guys to work together. I was joking with Fox that it was that was going to be his wedding gift since he did just get married over the weekend.
Yes.
But it was just like, okay, what are we going to do? Like, we're going to run these shows without it? Like, that's not fair. Fans have already bought tickets because they came to see these matches. Like, they don't necessarily need to know what's going on behind the scenes. They just, you know, kind of need to know, well, this is what I paid for and this is what I expect to get in return. And that's one of the things is like, I cannot allow a situation where we are going to deliver less than what we've promised. Like, I can't live with it. Like, Beyond Wrestling is what I have poured my heart and soul into for the last 6 years. And I've loved professional wrestling for, you know, at least a decade prior to that. And just going to different independent wrestling shows and knowing what it's like to be disappointed, I just wouldn't be able to live with myself. And so it's just kind of like, all right, I'm going to buy everybody's flights. And then, I don't know. You know what I mean? Okay, cool. All the flights are bought for the wrestlers that were coming out. Shit, what about the wrestlers that are going to be appearing on the show Sunday that are expecting to get paid Sunday? What are we going to do to come up with that money? And, you know, I talked with Dan Barry a little bit and a couple of the other guys, and it's just kind of like, you know what? Honesty is the best policy. And when I woke up this morning, I'm glad I had a day to kind of cool down a little bit because I was pretty angry yesterday. And, you know, just kind of give my perspective on the entire situation, you know, the whole ordeal as it went down, and just be open and honest with the fans and let them know, like, hey, guys, this is what happened. We tried to go above and beyond to make it happen. I especially wanted people to know, and again, I hope Joey Ryan wasn't mad that I put it out there, but, like, you know, this dude racked up frequent flyer miles. That's something that he could use on himself to go on vacation, to get away from wrestling. And his generosity to be able to donate it for his tag team partner, since Candice is in Cleveland now, so, like, it's like a multi city flight for her. So for him to be able to, like, well, I can kind of, you know, this is what I can do to help out so that it's going to work for all of us. Like, he didn't have to do that, but, you know, we all love wrestling so much, we love the fans so much, and we just want to follow through with our commitments and do everything in our power to make it happen. So you know, that kind of left us in the hole going towards Sunday, and I just wanted to share that with people. I want them to know what happens behind the scenes. So that way, you know, they can understand the sacrifices. I mean, one of the reasons I want to do this podcast, and it's not to bitch or complain, but it's just like, no, I'm very busy with a lot of the things that I have to do, and to sacrifice two full days in order to be able to get everybody on the same page and figure out, you know, is this guy really screwing us over, and what are we going to do to make this right? And, you know, I contacted some other promoters that have shows in the area that weekend to see if they had spots and, you know, kind of getting the runaround. It's just like, it takes a lot of time. it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of commitment when it would have been so easy to just say, hey, you know what, guys, this guy fucked you over. You're not coming to my show anymore. And that guy would have fallen on the sword for it. And that's just, to me, that's just not the right way to do business. So.
And ultimately the fans, like you said, I mean, they wouldn't have known that that happened, but what would have gone, I was like, oh, well, you promised this and we didn't get it. Probably you would have still been honest, right? You would have just said, hey, this is what happened. The flights,
oh, of course,
whatever.
Of course. But, and I would have, as soon as I would have known that they would have been unavailable, I would have announced it ahead of time, and I would have done everything with my, in my power with the, you know, the money that we had at our disposal to come up with, you know, adequate substitutions, but on a limited time period, you know what I mean? Like, one of the problems is if this guy would have told me right from the start, like, hey, I'm going to screw you over. I could have bought flights from the West Coast round trip like 5 weeks ago, and I would have saved hundreds of dollars. So to have to buy the flights the week of the show, you know, that's just an unnecessary added expense. But yes, of course, I would have been 100% upfront with our fans with the entire situation. And the God's honest truth is I bet that even if we weren't able to find suitable replacements, I doubt that anybody would ask for a refund, because that's the type of relationship that we have with the fans. With that said, I will never do anything to take advantage of that. I would never want to betray the trust of the fans. And it's just, it's so overwhelming today to be put in this situation, because as soon as we put up that post, I mean, we've run secret sales in the past. And sometimes people are like, this is stupid. If you're going to run a sale, why don't you just come out and do it publicly? And it's like, one of the things that I like to do is kind of get a better idea. You know, oh, you're a fan. Tell me what shows you want. I can make recommendations of which ones you might like, or which ones will compliment you, or which ones that you're missing out on. Or, you know, sometimes I don't always get on top of things as far as inventory. So it's like, I don't want somebody to be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go buy this T-shirt, and then they go to buy it, and then, you know, the money goes through, and then it turns out that, like, we don't have it in stock for some reason. It's just so much easier being able to deal with people on a one-on-one basis, and we've gotten flack for that in the past. So it's just kind of like, you know, I want to nip that in the bud. If we're going to run a secret sale, I want fans to know the reason for it and what our goal is and what we're trying to accomplish, and give them a firm number, too. It's like, you know, we're not just putting our stuff on sale to make as much money as possible, you know, obviously, the more money that comes in, the better the lineups are, since everything operates show to show. But it's just like, I want you guys to know that we need to come up with $1,500, because we are $1,500 over budget because of these last-minute, you know, complications.
And I think fans can understand. I mean, we've all bought tickets to somewhere. We've all bought flights to somewhere. And when you do it that week right before, you know you're getting screwed by it. I mean, you know it. So, but I think that's really good. And I've seen people say that to you before, not necessarily your fans or Beyond Wrestling fans, but I've seen people kind of criticize, like, why do they run Secret Sale? That doesn't make any sense. It's like, well, there is a purpose behind it. What were some of the shows that most frequently got asked for? Just kind of wondering.
There's so many people that are kind of like, well, I'm checking out Beyond Wrestling now. What do you suggest that we, you know, where is, like, what's a good starting point? And based on the amount of DVDs, I either tell people start at the first American Rana in 2013, our first show at FET, if they've been following us throughout 2014, because I think, you know, I got to be honest with you, I haven't gone back and watched those shows. I think American Rana is probably still the best show that we've ever put together, if not one of the best independent wrestling shows ever, period. I haven't had a chance to rewatch Point of No Return to see how that holds up. Feeding Frenzy, we get a lot of requests for, which is the show where the ring broke, which was the biggest turnout that we had ever had at the time, and I always was like so guilty about that, because I know that there were a ton of people that were just kind of like, I'm never coming back because this was a bad experience, and it just sucks because it was like kind of out of our hands, and you know, we did what we could to get another ring there. So I think it's so funny that while it was such probably a lousy experience live, that so many people want to watch the show after the fact because they don't have to wait 3 hours, you know, in order to get the first match. We've had a lot of people asking for some of our more recent stuff too. I think the next best starting point, if going all the way back to the first American Rana is too far to jump in, would be after we had to take the break once FET was shut down temporarily and came back with Alive and Kicking. I think that's a nice little appetizer to get everything set up for Tournament for Tomorrow 3. And I really feel as, I don't know, I guess a booker, that I've hit my stride as far as the way that we've put together shows, the way that they are executed, the amount of story elements versus the amount of showcase matches, the length of time for everything, just the way that it's all flowing. I feel like I've really hit my stride since Tournament for Tomorrow 3. So ends meet, Hit and Run, King of Hearts, all shows that I would recommend. Those are what we have in stock on DVD. And then our three most recent shows, When Satan Rules His World, Scorned, and The Real Thing, are just like they're up there with some of the best shows that we've ever run. And again, that goes back to, I feel like, you know, we've hit our stride. It's like, I don't want to shit the bed for Life Sucks and Then You Die, especially with American Rana around the corner. Like, we need as much momentum as possible if we're going to try and sell out Fed again, something that we've only done once before.
Yeah, no, and that makes sense, because it's one of those things where momentum is important for any promotion. And, you know, obviously this could do a lot of damage if most fans are like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to skip this one. And then once American Rod comes back in, you have to hype them back up.
Right.
So, but yeah, no, I mean, still overall, it's great that you were able to save the show, able to save the card that's already set. You know, you have Kimberly and Shinron versus Chris Dickinson, Heidi Lovelace in Team Pazuzu. Who knew? It's like a matchup you never thought you wanted until you heard it. And then you wanted it.
It's so funny, because I was running down the show with my dad the other day, and he was like, yeah, I was talking with the guy with work, and he's like, I didn't even know what matches are going on. And I told him that match specifically, and he's like, what? Like, that's a pretty big match. And I was like, yeah. And, like, my dad has a hard time, like, keeping track of the stories and stuff, too. But he knew, like, Shinron and Kimberly, because, you know, Dickinson, every time that he's broken up one of the matches, it's always been a Shinron match. And obviously we know what happened with Dickinson and Kim. And it seemed like Heidi was going to come to her aid at the last show, and instead, it's just kind of Heidi's in a situation where she had a breakout performance with Brian Fury at When Satan Rules His World, and she wasn't called upon to be back for The Real Thing. And let me put it like this, okay? Sometimes you have to wait for good things, and somebody like Speedball Mike Bailey, who we've had somewhat inconsistently, is somebody that I would like to have full time after American Rana, but. You know, leading into it, it's just kind of like there are other loose ends that need to be tied up before we can get him in on a full-time basis. Especially, you know, since he usually travels with a large crew. So it's kind of like, you know, you're not just looking at that one spot on the card. You're looking at three spots. And all those guys are super talented, but it's a matter of trying to figure out where everything fits into place. And in my perspective, Heidi was kind of like that. You know, it was like, okay, Heidi's awesome, but we might not have anything for her until August or September. And, she didn't like that. She came up to last show and she kicked him in the face. So
apparently not. No, that's what you get, Drew. That's what you get. Then Paul London versus AR Fox. You kind of mentioned it. I mean, that's just a fun match. Please Don't Die. That's going to be the chant of the night, most likely. So craziness from everyone in that.
For sure. Bit.
Yeah. First time at FET, World's Cutest Tag Team, Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae versus Team Tremendous, Dan Barry and Bill Carr. You know, both of these teams, obviously, I think pretty well known, especially Team Tremendous now getting a lot of shots in PWG, people getting to know them. And, you know, they've been an underrated team, I think, Jerome and I and Kevin, we've all said it on PWP for a long time, and it's great that the way you've utilized them and the way they're just an entertaining team. It's just a fun pair to watch. But when you were going, you were like, okay, I'm going to book the World's Cutest Tag Team. You already knew Team Tremendous was probably going to be on the show. Did you not have the World's Cutest Tag Team booked at that time, or did you kind of think this is what I want to put together first?
It was specifically, it was like, all right, what can we do with Team Tremendous that we haven't done yet at FET? And it was just the World's Cutest Tag Team's at the top of the list.
And then Biff Busick versus Donovan Dijak. I mean,
that's interesting. That's an interesting one.
It is. And I think you've booked Dijak really well. I mean, I've watched some of the matches he's had, and okay, everyone knows, you know, it's a different promotion, it's Ring of Honor, and then it's Beyond Wrestling, but it's like, they're just guys you don't get a certain taste for in one promotion. And in Ring of Honor, he knows his spot. Not saying that he's doing bad work there, but, he's in a certain position on the card. And I think giving him the chances you have in Beyond has really worked to his favor.
By the time you hear this podcast, you're probably going to be able to watch his first match with Biff Busick at one of the Dojo War shows for free at youtube.com/BeyondWrestling, because I'm planning on putting that up. You can also go back and watch the first match between Candice and Joey and Team Tremendous at youtube.com/BeyondWrestling. And it's kind of, you know, if you guys can't pitch in to support as we try and reach our goal for 1,500, like, the least you could do, it's always, always, always super important. You're going to subscribe to youtube.com/BeyondWrestling. Our goal is to have 25,000 subscribers by the end of the year. And that's going to help us, because we are in the very early stages of launching a new project, which is going to change Beyond Wrestling undoubtedly the way that we do business going forward forever. So it's very important that we're getting everybody to watch these matches on the YouTube channel first and foremost. Doesn't cost anything as long as you have an internet connection. Getting back to Dijak. We had a wrestler that also did camera, and he was very adamant as far as being part of the show. And he said, "What do you think about having the cameraman get beat up?" And I was just like, huh, that's really weird, but it really reinforces the idea that everybody that works on Beyond Wrestling is a wrestler in some capacity or another, which really harkens back to the days when it's like the wrestlers, after their matches, would climb up on the ladder and tape the matches themselves. And I thought, wow, what a cool idea to kind of come for full circle with that idea, as far as, you know, it's Beyond Wrestling is for us, by us. Like, we very, very rarely work with any outside entities. And obviously, as you can see, what happens when we do. So, and I talked to Dijak, and I mean, Dijak, first of all, the dude's a physical specimen. He had made his debut for us, I want to say, Tournament for Tomorrow 2 weekend, doing a squash match against Johnny Miyagi. And you could tell that there was raw ability there, but it still, like, he was still very, very early in the stages of his training. And so, like, Dijak, guy looks like a million bucks. He's actually a really, really good promo. He can talk his ass off. And on top of that, he's always been super respectful for me, you know, to me, coming up with Brian Fury, who, you know, north of Boston and probably in all of New England, is the best training that you're going to be able to get. Quick anecdote, a wrestler, or I should say a gymnast from Montana, recently he scouted all of the schools in the country and decided he was going to move to Boston or train with Brian Fury to become a professional wrestler, because that's you know, basically the pedigree. And I mean, with Sasha Banks coming out of Brian Fury's school, the top wrestlers in the countries are starting off at the New England Pro Wrestling Academy. So I wanted to get that out of the way. But Dijak's been always super cool to deal with. And it was kind of like, you know, let me pitch you on this idea. And sometimes it's risky, because when you have guys that you know that they can go, sometimes the best bet is, like, just put them in showcase matches against the best opponent they can match up with as soon as possible, because you don't know how long you're going to have them around for. And with Dijak, it was just like, hey, like, I really want you to have that personal connection with our crowd at FET Music. Are you cool coming in on a couple shows and working angles before you get matches? And that's a lot to ask for somebody, honestly. You know, especially somebody that might catch fire on any given show. And he was totally cool with it. And that investment of taking 2 to 3 months has paid off in spades, because the crowd at FET Music fucking despises Donovan Dijak. And probably the only other wrestlers that we have that are bad guys that the crowd actually hates is the Crusade for Change. And so it's like not only a testament of his willingness to be able to, you know, put his trust in me, but also his ability. I mean, dude, even Mike Bennett, who people were like up in arms if he ever came to FET Music. It's like, they, you know, I put up that video yesterday of the Kingdom making their entrance at the last show. It's like people love them now, even though they're the bad guys. Like, it's just part of wrestling, you know. The bad guys are cool, the good guys are cool, and everybody's cool for the most part. But Dijak, you know, he attacked some of the people helping with the show. He's been dodging Brian Fury, and then the last month he laid out Eddie Edwards, and he put Eddie Edwards in the branding iron, which is Brian Fury's signature hold. And you don't do that to Eddie Edwards, because Eddie Edwards, along with Biff Busick, put Beyond Wrestling on the map. So Biff Busick feels disrespected. I know that Biff Busick over the weekend told me that he thought that Dijak had taken some shortcuts in his career, which I will not further elaborate on. That'll be up to Biff to say on his own time if he wants to, because I don't want to get involved in that whatsoever. But, you know, you fuck with the dude's first trainer. Obviously, Biff needed to learn stuff to get to the point where he was comfortable going to train with Lance Storm. And you fuck with the dude's top rival. That's not going to sit well. So, Biff Busick was not originally programmed to wrestle Donovan Dijak at this show, but it just seemed like a natural fit. So that's a big, big, big-time match for Beyond Wrestling. It's so great to have Biff back at FET Music for the first time in a few months. And if people thought that Donovan Dijak impressed against Eddie Edwards last month, all I can say is wait and see what this guy is capable of this month.
And the match the match that you said you might be releasing, is that from the Dojo Wars?
From Dojo Wars.
New England. Wasn't that like, that was earlier this year, right?
Dojo Wars, it was either from, I think it was from February. And I've been sitting on those shows for for a specific reason. But I was just like, fuck it, let's get this match out. I want people to see this match so that they have a taste of what they're in store for when we bring this match to FET Music.
And yeah, no, I like I said, I think it's just something different. You know, he went up against Jack Connor at Scorned, and I think people were kind of saying, like, okay, that's a different perspective of his character than it shows in other places. So then you have Death by Elbow, Chris Hero and JT Dunn versus The Kingdom, Mike Bennett and Matt Taven. I mean, that's going to be a lot of fun. Obviously, well, Death by Elbow has been a big thing.
Death by Elbow, you know, their home is Beyond Wrestling, and I think that by the end of the year, you're going to see them popping up in a lot of places. JT Dunn is the perfect protege for Chris Hero, and they called out the best tag team in the world. And, you know, the Young Bucks are in town on Saturday, but the Young Bucks didn't take the match, but the New Japan Tag Team Champions did. And so we're going to see The Kingdom versus Death by Elbow. Cool first time match. JT Dunn and Matt Taven, who both wrestled in New England for years, always kept in separate circles. They've never actually even shared the ring together. So for people locally to see JT Dunn against Matt Taven, that's kind of a big deal. And then, you know, throw in the factor that obviously you got two local guys in Taven and Bennett that are international superstars now. And Chris Hero, who is probably one of the top three wrestlers of 2015 in terms of the matches that he's producing. Like, that one's got all the elements to be a show stealer, if not an instant classic. So really looking forward to that one. Very happy to be able to present that before anybody else.
Honestly, I'm looking, you know, forward more to this Haas Division match, the Reinforce the Ring match of the Hit Squad versus the Hooligans. I mean, come on, Drew, you knew that's what I wanted. Come on.
Danny Moff hit me up and he's like, You better have the tables ready, brother. And she's like, oh, I guess we're going there. So I gotta try and get my hands on some tables. I don't know how many, like 8, 20, I don't know. And it's worth.
I mean, the Hooligans know how to use that plunder also, so
oh
you got
it. Oh, my God, and you know they're going to fight on the stage, and it's just like, come on, like, those are the people that pay for the premium seating. Like, if they wanted to stand, they would be on the floor. Like, just kind of let them be. That one's going to be a bad one. Like, that's just like, because the Hit Squad, okay, right, like, what, they've been wrestling for, like, 20 years, and they're still wrestling. You want to know why? Because they're still fucking incredible, and I thought that when we had them for Tournament for Tomorrow 3, it was going to be, like, a one-time deal, like, awesome way to pay tribute to guys that kind of paved the way. And no, I was wrong. Like, these guys can still flat out go. And when we did the locker room meeting at the last show, like, I even said, like, yo, these guys, along with Samoa Joe, are like the pioneers. Like, I tell people all the time, I never grew up with ECW. Like, I'm just too young and I didn't have access to it at that age. And Ring of Honor was my first taste of it. And it was that Americanized strong style that these guys implemented that is what made me a lifelong fan. So it's just like, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm marking out, but it's just like, what a dream come true to not only to be able to see these guys in action in 2015, but to have a hand in it and to be able to, you know, let fans that might not know, that might just be new to the independent wrestling scene, like, yo, what you're watching now wouldn't be possible without these guys. That's what the Hit Squad means to me. Very, very, very important to me that we have them on our shows as much as possible.
And then the Hooligans are just fun. They're, you know.
Oh, and they tell the best road stories. So it's like, hey, guess what? I don't care if those guys end up getting, you know, contracts in Japan or wrestling on TV. I'm never going to let them fly out to our shows because I need to hear the road stories every single time that they come out because they're always disgusting and they're always hilarious.
Colt Cabana versus Johnny Cockstrong, the scientific exhibition, obviously.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be really scientific. We originally had Colt Cabana versus Biff Busick book for the show, and I was just like, awesome. Like, I think that both wrestlers will show totally different sides than what the fans are used to. And then it was like Biff versus Dijak, and I was like, oh, man, like, Colt versus Cockstrong is a match that we've been toying around with for, like, maybe before Colt even went to WWE. I don't know. I'd have to check my timelines on that. And we always wanted to make it happen, and we never had the ability to. And with Cockstrong coming back at the last show, I don't know how long Cockstrong's going to be around. It was just like, we got to pull the trigger on this. Like, this is now or never. And it's going to bring some much-needed comic relief to what have been extremely violent shows the past few shows. And I even put it out on Facebook. I'm like, man, do you think our shows are getting a little too violent? Like, are they a little too out of control? Because I do. But I think the fans love it, and so, you know, I want to throw something in there that's gonna break it up a little bit, so to make me laugh before I have to go crying because, you know, the Hooligans and the Hit Squad broke all of our tables.
Well, I mean, really, I mean, with the next match coming up, the no DQ match between Nick Gage and Stalkade, you just wanted to get guys booked for Nick Gage's death match tournament, right? That's what you were trying to do with this.
No, I just heard about that recently. Nick Gage is a scary guy. And, you know, Stalkade, he's somebody that impressed me when we did a clinic at Chikara, I want to say the end of 2013. Along with the rest of the guys that were, like, from Long Island. But there was always something about Stalkade. I was just like, man, like, there is something really different about him than what you see from most other wrestlers out there. And him and Tremont have had quite the series of matches. But it kind of bumps me out because I feel like the most prominent role that he probably had was his matches that he did with Tremont at CZW. And it seems like they weren't necessarily set up to be put in the best position. And that's something that's really important, is that you have to kind of identify guys' strengths and weaknesses, and it's up to the booker, the promoter, to be able to put them in a position to succeed. And it bumps me up, because sometimes I read feedback, and it's like, oh, Stalkade sucks, why is he on the show? And it's just like, if you've ever been to Fet Music, you know that Stalkade is usually one of the highlights, because he just has no regard for his well-being, and, you know, he's one of these guys that talks about dying in the ring, and you absolutely believe it, because you can just tell, like, this is all this guy ever wanted to do, is just be put on the planet to beat the shit out of people and get the shit kicked out of him. So he doesn't have that special connection with Nick Gage the same way that Matt Tremont does. And I'm sure Tremont and Nick Gage will end up colliding at some point down the line for another organization. But Stalkade and Tremont have had quite the rivalry from Beyond Wrestling. And Tremont promised the next time that him and Stalkade share the ring, it's going to be the most violent match in Rhode Island history, which worries me. I'll head up XWA. Maybe they'll run it. All right. They can do the blow off. But I think it's going to be good.
Cause you don't want to do that at Fet. You're like, this relationship.
Yeah. So maybe, and it's going to be a really, really big test for Stalkade against Nick Gage to see kind of where he stands in terms of these guys that are insane and have no regard for their well-being. And, I mean, we've seen Stalkade take some unbelievable risks. I mean, if you haven't seen it, his match with Eddie Kingston at When Satan Rules His World is just like, they broke the steps, they broke the ring bell, they broke the microphone, they broke each other. Like, power bombs and back body drops and just landing on hard objects at weird angles. Like, that was just like one of those matches. I was like, all right, guys, like, what the hell are you doing? And I have a feeling that Nick Gage versus Stalkade is probably going to up the ante, so... Great.
I know. Jerome and I talked about it on the newscast. Like, Nick Gage, he has that something. Whatever it is, he has it, and the fans are going to see it. And it's tremendous. It's what he has in 2015. So, match should be fun. I'll give you that. It's going to be crazy. And then, of course, hey, maybe Beyond Wrestling can co-promote that deathmatch tournament. Just because.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to put my name in a deathmatch tournament. Thank you.
No, you really don't. And then what are we else? Angel Ortiz, David Starr, Eric Corvus.
Hey, we always got extra. Plus, we're doing a secret show. It's going to start at 1 o'clock at the RWA Chop Shop. It's $5 come. It's going to be a new format. I'm not telling anybody about it. But, yeah, if you're coming to Beyond Wrestling, come a little bit earlier, make a whole day out of it. And then, you know, Championship Mel's going to be there. I was putting together the menu today, figure out what we're going to serve. And all the food outside in the truck, all the food inside with the gourmet concessions. It just... These events are just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then next month, I haven't announced what we're going to do on the Saturday yet. We might even do something on the Friday. But then Sunday, we've got Chikara playing before us, which that's kind of crazy to be able to work with Chikara again. Because I've really got my first experience working in professional wrestling, working with them, even though it was in a very limited capacity. So to be able to bring them to Fat, I mean, that's an honor too.
Yeah, that's going to be really fun. The double shot weekend. I mean, so you're busy both months, and hopefully things work out better, right?
Yeah, well, first thing is the only people that I have to split flights with for American Rana is Ring of Honor, and I've never, ever, ever had an issue. It's Jeff Jones that handles all their travel arrangements and stuff like that, and his communication is on point. It's almost like he's a professional.
Almost, right? Amazing how that works.
It's crazy, right?
But yeah, I mean, Drew, I mean, a really great show. Obviously, a lot of people helping out with the secret sale, contacting you, beyondwrestling@gmail.com. I mean, man, you know, it's a sucky situation, but you're making the best of it.
Since we started the podcast alone, I've received 50 more emails. So the amount of feedback and support we're getting today is overwhelming, and it's humbling. And, you know, it's frustrating, too, because it's kind of like, oh, man, like, where's everybody when we're doing good? But it's so good to know at the same time. It's like, wow, everybody's got our backs when we're down, and it just makes it worthwhile. It's so hard for me to come across feedback on the shows, even from people that are there watching them live. And that's the type of stuff that validates what we do, especially knowing that none of us are getting rich off of it. So it means the world to me and the rest of the crew that so many people are willing to support considering the circumstances. And, you know, part of it is I did tell people that if they had any questions that we would address them on the podcast too. So if it's cool by you, we can start first with some of the questions that people asked on our Facebook page.
Yeah, shoot.
Okay, somebody said name one 80s or 90s wrestler or tag team who would fit perfectly in Beyond Wrestling and why. And obviously it's the Big Boss Man because he has to wrestle Bill Carr.
That makes sense. That makes
right?
sense.
That's right? A good match. Okay.
That is a good match.
And the next question.
You would book that.
I would book that if I had the ability to. That would be a great match.
It would. Yeah, I know. Keep going. Keep going with your questions.
The next question is, what's the most challenging part of running Beyond Wrestling? And the most challenging part is the stuff that happens behind the scenes. I really feel that. It's just trying to coordinate everything. And, you know, sometimes I feel like, too, like, oh, well, like Beyond Wrestling's growth has somewhat of a ceiling because sometimes I'm hesitant to delegate responsibilities, but it's just like, well, I know what I'm doing, and even if I entrust somebody else to do it, it's like then all of a sudden that's another line of communication that needs to be opened up to make sure that we're both on the same page. So it's just easier for me to just handle everything by myself, even though it also creates this dynamic where it creates all of our problems too. Yeah, I don't know about that. That's going to be something that I'm going to have to kind of learn to overcome as Beyond Wrestling continues to grow, because we're at a point right now where this is past being a one-man show. And I could really use a support system in place in order to be able to make this thing happen. And, you know, more on that later, I guess.
Man, if only I lived in Providence, I'd be able to help you out with the cheese truck and with Beyond Wrestling. Damn it!
Somebody asked, who would you love to bring to Beyond Wrestling? And I would say that my number one would probably be Ricochet. And I don't know why Ricochet won't come to Beyond Wrestling, but it makes me sad. But it's less so about who I want to bring to Beyond, and more so about who the fans want to see at Beyond Wrestling. We get a lot of requests for Nakamura. I don't even think that's possible. maybe it is. If it is, I don't know how to go about doing it. And that goes back to it being a one-man show and not having an office in place to contact other promotions offices to try and negotiate stuff like that. We get a lot of requests for Lucha Underground guys too, and I have seen that they are making appearances with some other organizations, but you know, we're a ways away from that. It's kind of like everything is in a holding pattern until American Rana. And then it's kind of like, okay, what kind of opportunities do we have to, expand our roster at that point?
And also Ricochet is back in Dragon Gate. So, you know.
Oh, he is?
Yes.
Good. Right?
Right?
Or no?
Well, I mean, it may or may not be good for Lucha Underground. I don't know what it says about Lucha Underground, honestly. We're going to get a second season. That's what everyone's saying. So I'm going to go with that.
I hope so. I love Lucha Underground. I've actually purposely stopped watching the show for a little bit so that I can do like a binge-watching marathon. Anyway, somebody asked, what is the biggest match that almost happened but didn't? That's a good question.
Can you talk about these matches that almost happened?
Damn.
And why they didn't?
I need to... I know a huge match that almost happened once for another organization that didn't happen, but I'm not at liberty to talk about that.
No one cares about Samoa Joe versus Nick Gage. No one. No.
Oh, are these two gonna kind of intertwine? That was something that we got a huge amount of requests for, and I actually, when we had Joe in, he was meeting with Vince McMahon the following day, and it was like, hey, can I give you one more date right now before what I assume is going to be, you're not going to be able to take independent wrestling dates anymore. Cause there was like a 9-day period where he was still allowed to take more dates. And it at that point, it was just kind of like, even though nothing's set in stone, nothing's in writing, like I probably can't take any more dates, but based on the amount of requests that we had, I would have tried to do Samoa Joe versus Nick Gage at American Rana. For the people that are asking why we didn't do it and why we won't have the opportunity to do it, go tell AIW to do that instead of what they have planned for Absolution. Or better yet, I had never worked with Nick Gage before. And at the time that I had to make the decision as far as who was Samoa Joe was going to be wrestling, I didn't know if Nick Gage was going to be back for us. And it's just a matter of, you know, nothing against the guy. I just didn't know if he was going to be a one and done or if he was going to be somebody that we were going to have on a full-time basis. And as much as the finances of Beyond Wrestling run show to show, there has to be further planning than that. By the time one of our shows passes, I have to have a good idea of what our card is going to be for that following show. And at that time, you know, I just didn't know where it was going to be with Nick Gage. I did have a large part in orchestrating the Killogy because the two options for Samoa Joe were either Biff Busick or Dickinson. And I found out that Dickinson was wrestling him at House of Glory on the Friday. And I found out that Biff was going to be wrestling for Gabe on the same date as our show. And so XWA, I'd gone back and forth with them, and they were kind of like, you know, Ring of Honor's running. We're in this big program with Ring of Honor where they're doing like their guys versus Ring of Honor guys. They don't have access to any of them, so they kind of needed like a heavy hitter for their show. And it was just kind of like, all right, well, what if we run this match three nights in a row? And I think one of the benefits of doing that is that if they would have done one match, I'm sure it would have been good. But for them to be able to work together over the course of three nights and be able to learn, you know, learn, what's the best way that I want to put it? and not that they were learning how to wrestle each other, but to be able to, it's kind of, okay, sometimes when guys wrestle, it seems like surefire on paper and they don't have any chemistry. And sometimes there is chemistry that's unbelievable. And then sometimes there's no chemistry and it's just like, okay, even if there's no chemistry, you have another opportunity to kind of figure out what didn't work for the first one and make it happen for the second one. And I think in that regard, when people finally see the final match between Chris Dickinson and Samoa Joe, I mean, I don't think I'm out of line saying that was one of the best matches that we've ever run. Samoa Joe fucking brought it. And Chris Dickinson brought it. And would the match have been that good otherwise? Maybe. But why risk it? You know what I mean? I wanted to put both guys in a situation where they were 100% going to succeed. And that's how the Killogy came together. And it's kind of like, yeah, well, maybe we missed the boat on Samoa Joe versus Nick Gage. And who knows how crazy that would have been. Because it seems like most independent wrestling fans are, you know, kind of concluded that Samoa Joe versus Necro Butcher is like the greatest independent wrestling match ever. And it is. It is. But that doesn't mean that you can capture that lightning in a bottle a second time. And so, you know, we kind of blew that chance to run that match.
That's fine.
You don't care, right?
I mean, I do. I would have loved to see it, but I'm happy with Chris Dickinson match. I'm sure that's going to be good. When is that going to be on DVD again?
I think Robles was on vacation recently, and I know that Burns is on vacation, and I'm also waiting from Championship Graphics to get me the DVD cover art. So even though we've usually had our shows in time for the next show, I mean, we'll definitely have
it. Oh, yeah, I'm not complaining. I'm just asking.
No, no, no. We'll definitely have it for American Rana, but we won't have it in time for this Sunday. But it shouldn't be much longer than that.
Awesome. Awesome.
Man, I really want to think now if there were any other big matches that could have happened for Beyond Wrestling that didn't happen.
I would assume some of them deal with Chris Hero. I mean, because after, you know, after he came back, he's really, and he's mentioned this on numerous podcasts on other websites that, you know, he's made Beyond one of the few places he wants to work at all the time. So you kind of think of some matches that can't or won't happen in other promotions could happen for you. So. Or apparently not, depending on what people they are. Contracts on the independent scene.
The Fox and Shinron ladder match was a big one for us, now that I'm thinking about it. That was originally scheduled for last year's American Rana. And it's just funny how things have a way of working themselves out. But once we finally got to pull the trigger on that, man, was that a big match for us. That's one of those things where it's like, we ran the show in a snowstorm, so we didn't have as much buzz coming out of it. And then on top of that, because the whole Kim and Dickinson incident, it's like it completely overshadowed it. But if you're an independent wrestling fan, you like the hardcore matches, like you need to see Shinron versus AR Fox in a ladder match. Like that match is crazy. Oh, duh. Obviously, the biggest matches that we never had a chance to run, two off the top of my head would be the Unbreakable Fucking Machines against Doom Patrol, Dickinson and Jocka. Since that was right around the time that Elgin stopped taking independent dates, and then that show ended up getting canceled.
Right,
anyway.
I kind of remember that. Yeah,
and then of course the Kingdom versus the Juicy Product in Kimberley when Maria was going to make her debut. Like that was a huge match. Kevin Ford hits me up from time to time, and we'll just post the card and be like, "I'm so sad this didn't happen," and just like, "Yeah, buddy, you and me both. Like, what do you want?
It's all your fault, Drew. It's all your fault."
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think it's my fault.
No, it's not. It's not. It's really not. Kevin Ford right now, he's enjoying his time on the beach. So, whatever. I'm jealous. So yeah,
I got a couple more questions. Somebody asked me who the best entrance music has on the indies. I mean, if you're at Fat Music, it's Biff Busick, bar none. Just the electricity in the building with people singing along to it. It's so crazy. I love AR Fox's theme by Riff Raff. It's completely hilarious and totally fits him. Pat Lucy asked when I'm coming back onto his podcast, and I will go back on Pat Lucy's podcast when he has more than 711 Twitter followers. Cause my time is very valuable. In order for me to do podcasts, I need to know that it's going to be a platform at least as good as Pro Wrestling Ponderings, if not better. How's that? Is that good?
We appreciate that. But hey, that'll be tomorrow when he has 712, just cause you mentioned him.
Ed Tellier, a great fan, always a big supporter, asks, the Hood seemed poised to break out and now they seem like they're stuck spinning in their wheels. It's so hard with some guys because it's like, if you don't come up with a program for them and they're just having showcase matches and they're trading losses and they don't have direction, it's kind of like, where do you go from there? And I feel bad because the Hoods have gotten some really good opportunities against great opponents. And it hasn't always been the most favorable situation. They wrestled the Colony back in April. And because of, unfortunately, people were late to the show because of the earlier start time, we had to switch things around. So they weren't as prepared for the matches they would have been. Which obviously, when you're doing a high profile tag team match, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be coordinated. You need to be on the same page with your partner. And then it was kind of like last month, wrestling the Kingdom. I mean, the thing is, I love Davey Cash and Chris Pyro, and I know that they love wrestling, so I love to reward them with matches where it's kind of like, oh, shit, like, we're standing across the ring from the New Japan Tag Team Champions. Like, what an honor. What a privilege. Same thing, like, when they got the chance to wrestle the Young Bucks. Like, they've certainly earned that position based on their popularity at Fat Music. It's not like they're being handed anything. But sometimes when you're put in those situations where you're just doing showcase matches, you lose traction in terms of the way that you're able to connect with the audience because it's almost like, well, whether you win or lose, you're just going to wrestle another good team next month. But it never seems like there's really that much at stake. So I don't even have the Hoods on this upcoming show. So I think that they need to regroup and that they're going to be back better than ever. I was also asked when TFT 316 is coming to DVD. Much like we did with TFT 2, I wanted to increase production values. And I'd worked out a deal with our graphics guy where if he sent me templates for the lower thirds that I would fill them in myself. And what ended up happening was it was just incompatible because he was working on a Mac and I was working on a PC. We went back and forth for quite a bit of time and I gave up on it. And I basically was like, all right, like I'll give you more money if you do it. But it's been more important to me to get show flyers and stuff like that out ahead of American Rana. That way we have promotional materials this weekend for like the convention. So TFT 316 has taken a bit of a backseat, but those matches will be released for free, and I think that we'll be doing a DVD for that eventually as well.
At youtube.com/beyondwrestling, right?
Yes.
Most likely.
Yes. Imagine if we decided to launch it at a different URL, how confused people would be.
Well, given how some websites have been in the past, it's not like that's out of the realm of possibility of things happening.
Right, right. Yeah, it's very important that you have your branding and that you're sending all of your people to one place under one banner. I'll just leave it at that. Somebody asked an indie dream match that I want to book in Beyond and a favorite show that Beyond Wrestling has had. I want to see Ricochet versus Shinron, and I hope that putting it out there doesn't give anybody else the idea because I'll be real pissed if it happens anywhere else but Fet Music for the first time. But I don't know, man. That guy Ricochet is just so hard to get a hold of.
Yes, notoriously.
He fits all my tweets when I'm like, yeah, this guy doesn't want to come wrestle for us. I don't know. He thinks it's funny. It makes me stay up at night like, oh, what did I do? And a favorite show that Beyond Wrestling has had. Man.
That's a lot. I mean, you mentioned American Rana 13. I mean, that's
the first American Rana just gave me a feeling like I'll never be able to recapture my entire life. And I have to understand. I've kind of resigned myself to the fact that I have to stop chasing that high because it's never going to come again. But there are certain shows like Tournament for Tomorrow 2. I thought that we nailed it. I was super happy with Critical Acclaim and Unbreakable. Battle of New England, where the rest of our roster was at Battle of Los Angeles. I was so happy with the way that card came together and the execution of it. Tournament for Tomorrow 3 was very good. And I think Hit and Run. And like I said, since Hit and Run and King of Hearts, it's just like every show ranks up there. Like, I'm always impressed with how smoothly everything has been running in terms of the wrestlers being respectful of one another and sticking to their times and, you know, realizing, okay, well, some of these fans are traveling, you know, hours out of area, and we want to give them a good show for their money, but we don't want to give them so much of a show that they're leaving having a bad time.
That makes sense. I mean, hey, you could always try to book Nick Cage versus Masada one last time, but, you know, never mind. That'd be interesting.
Okay. Somebody asked, how do I convince my non-wrestling girlfriend to travel 5 hours to see a Beyond Wrestling show? Wow. I mean, that's hard, because that's the thing, is like, if you don't like wrestling, you don't like wrestling. But our shows, it's like, you don't need to like wrestling to have fun at one of our shows. Somebody I talked to a couple years ago brought their girlfriend to a show who wasn't a wrestling fan, and she said it was one of the top 10 experiences of her life, just because it was something that she was so unfamiliar with. So I think sometimes you can't look at it as like, oh yeah, we're going to go to a nightclub and watch something, as much as it is like, hey, this is a completely unique experience than anything that we've ever been a part of, even if you've been to other wrestling shows. And maybe wrestling is not your cup of tea, but, you know, there's no way that you're not going to be able to appreciate the breathtaking performances, the stunts, the risks that these guys take. If you like food, and I think most people eat 3 times a day, unless you're one of those people that eat 6 times a day. If you eat 6 times a day, you're probably not going to be eating one of your meals at Beyond Wrestling, since you probably have them portioned out already in your little Tupperware containers. But if you eat 3 times a day, I can guarantee you that you're going to eat 2 of your meals on Sunday between Championship Melt and the concessions inside. And I think that a lot of people that like food are always impressed when they come to our shows and have the chance to eat the full array, because it's quite the spread that we put out. If you like to drink, Fett runs these Super Kick specials. I don't know. It's kind of like jungle juice. Maybe I'm not even supposed to be talking about it. But if you like to drink, come to our shows. You'll have a good time there. And then it's just the sense of camaraderie. Like, you know, it happens to any crowd. Sometimes we have people that, you know, follow different promotions. They come to our show for a specific type of wrestler, and they might act up. But for the most part, it's like, it's really such a sense of camaraderie between the wrestlers and the fans that, to me, it's infectious. There's no way you can come to one of our shows and not be hooked. So, you know, if you're trying to get your non-wrestling girlfriend there, you know, you got to let her know that it's not just wrestling. That the wrestling almost at times takes a back burner to all these other wonderful aspects. Our shows are pretty good.
Yeah, they are. Especially if you follow you on Instagram and you see those little food porn photos that you post. It's like, ah, oh, damn it, now I'm hungry. Thanks a lot, Drew.
I don't know. What else? Any other questions? Did you get any questions on your end that needed to be fielded?
A lot of them throughout the podcast itself. So it's like someone asking, like, oh, well, what happened? And you know, were you not going to be able to book wrestlers? Stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, you pretty much answered that. So, I mean, because a lot of people just ask questions focused on what happened and are you going to rebook and, you know, what's going to happen at the next show? And it's like, well, you kind of answered that, so I don't really feel the point in asking you. So, okay. Yeah. All right. Unless you want to give us any scoops on American Rana 15.
Oh, no? Yeah. I don't know. I'll announce the first match right now. Let me just think of what match it's going to be.
Oh, so you already have the entire card. I see how it is. You only can give us one.
Well, it's like, this is the thing that kind of sucks. It's like, okay, so the New England Wrestling Convention, or the Fan Fest, whatever it's called, New England Fan Fest. It's like, okay, that's Saturday, but our big show is Sunday, but then like a lot of stuff that's going to happen Sunday, we're going to have match announcements coming out of it, so like I have to put up these flyers with pictures that are going to give people a good indication of what matches that they're going to see. So here's the first match. Oh shit, I don't know what match I want to announce.
Actually, here's a question. I don't know if you did kind of answer it. You couldn't book Samoa Joe again, but if you could, and besides Nick Gage, who would you have put him up against?
Biff, no question. Come on, Joe and Biff, that's the match.
There you go.
I don't know, maybe Joe versus AR Fox. I kind of thought that the whole, like, I know that there were, like, extenuating circumstances, but when he was supposed to wrestle Fox earlier this year, and, you know, he was banged up and couldn't do a one-on-one match, but, like, I would have absolutely loved more than anything to see that match.
I would too. So have, like, you decided yet?
That's a crazy match. What match do I want to announce right now? Just because none of the participants are on the show, it's going to be the Beaver Boys against Ryan Galeone and a partner of his choosing at American Rana.
Wow.
So kind of a yeah, I know, kind of tie things up though, because you know, Ryan Gallione kind of got a little fire lit under him when Jimmy Preston came out of the crowd and talked to him a little bit, and then Jimmy Preston stopped showing up. So Ryan Gallione's kind of left on his own, but he's been kind of getting in the hair of Alex Silver, Alex Reynolds, who used to have considerably more hair. So perhaps it's best that he cut his hair. And John Silver, who has no hair, but I think you understand at least what I'm saying. He's been getting in their business, and the Beaver Boys, as a result, haven't really been able to gain much traction either as singles competitors or as a tag team, large in part due to Ryan Gallione, the former Ryan Rush, who's really trying to make a name for himself. So I think we're gonna see the end of this at American Rana, but it's gonna be interesting to see who he picks as a partner. So yeah, that's a match. Does that count? That counts as a match announcement, even though not all the participants are announced, right?
That does, sure. Why okay. not?
All right.
Give people a little something still to chew on. And I'm assuming you will announce who he picks. I mean, right?
Yeah, so. It's not going to be a surprise. We'll leave it up to him as soon as he decides. He's on his honeymoon right now. A lot of people getting married.
It seems like it. And apparently inviting you to their weddings.
Yeah, because I'm the best to have at weddings.
Apparently. I saw those photos. You looked very dapper.
I looked very sweaty because it was very hot.
It seemed like.
I was promised that I was going to be able to wear a t-shirt and camo shorts to the wedding. And then I probably was still gonna, but then I was just like, oh man, like I bet everybody else is going to end up dressing like wicked nice. And lo and behold, like everybody else ended up dressing real nice. And then Dickinson still rolled up in shorts. And he was like, fuck you guys. Y'all left me hanging here.
Right. I saw those photos.
I thought Fox was going to get married in camo shorts. That's what he told me. He's like, and if I'm wearing it, anybody else can too.
No.
He's the man. That was a lot of fun. I'm really happy for him and his him and Roxy.
That does seem awesome. So anything else, Drew? Anything else you wanna let out on the air openly, publicly? You know.
Oh, wow.
That's a loaded question.
Yeah, no kidding. Anything else that I want to let out on the air? Yeah. Anything else that I'm going to right now? Probably not. You know, just if you've ever supported Beyond Wrestling, if you've got the means to do so, again, hit up beyondwrestling@gmail.com. Just send me an email and I will pick your brain and we'll try and figure out, come up with a package that works best for you. If you want to support Beyond Wrestling, we'll get you some merchandise at a discounted price, hopefully contributing toward that goal of $1,500. If you cannot support financially, at the very least, please subscribe to youtube.com/beyondwrestling and share the free matches. We're going to have Dijak versus Biff Busick up in a little bit. Probably be up by the time you're listening to this. And if you are within reasonable driving distance to Providence, Rhode Island, absolutely come to Life Sucks and Then You Die, especially because we have gone through painstaking lengths to be able to deliver the card that we've promised. And on top of that, come on, man, American Rana's coming up. I hope you guys have me on before then, because American Rana...
We should. I was just about to ask you that. Did Jerome contact you about our 12-hour podcast marathon?
Oh,
we
I would love
talk
to
for a while.
I would love to be part of that. But I'm as far as American Rana goes, you know, American Rana 2013, the expectations were so high, there was going to be no way that we were going to be able to live up to them for 2014 American Rana. And you know what? Wrong. I know that we are fully capable of putting on a show that good again, and that is the goal for American Rana 15. I want to sell out Fat. I want to have that place completely packed. I want the largest audience that we've ever had to see the best wrestling on the East Coast, bar none.
Well, there you go. June 28th, Fat Music, Life Sucks, and Then You Die. A really awesome card. And then save a little bit of money, go to American 2015. I mean, because American Rana 2015 apparently is going to live up to expectations, and then some.
So. Hopefully, right? If not, we'll look stupid, so.
Nah, you never look stupid, Drew.
Yeah, I know.
There you go. All right. Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Have a good one. Thanks, man.